Thank you so much for sharing, Robbie. Isn't it a thrill to watch these guys grow up from little babies and grow up and travel the world as missionaries? And what a blessing. I'm just going to pray for you, Robbie. Father, we just want to say thank you for Robbie and the call that you've had in his life, Lord, and with so many years ahead to serve you, Lord, and you've given him these deep experiences, Lord. And he's asked us to pray. So as a fellowship today, God, we pray for the friends that he met, for the seeds that were planted, for the friends that their whole team met. And we pray for the missionaries that are continuing to serve there, Lord, that you would give them wisdom and revelation in the work that you call them to. And Father, I pray for Robbie as he processes the experiences he had, Lord, that he would be drawn to glorifying you, Lord, and be inspired to live a deeper life, a deeper walk with you, Lord, and to be bold in his faith. So we just praise you, God, for all you've done and for protecting him as he traveled. In your name, amen. Well, my name's Jennifer Wilson, not the doctor. And months ago, when Pastor Dale asked our team to share in a morning service, the only date that worked out for us was Father's Day. And I wondered what God would have us share that would honor our Heavenly Father and allow us to share something meaningful for fathers here with us today. I wondered if you would just open in your Bibles, and there's Bibles in the pew, to a passage that we've studied as a church family. And God led our team to that same space, not knowing what was going on here. And yet God knew it all, didn't he? So it's Ephesians 1, and I'm going to be reading from 15 to 19. Now, I have the NIV version, so those of you who have that same version, I wondered if you would read with me. Verses 15, and it'll just go to 19a for today. Can we stand together in honor of God? For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. As I've been reflecting on Father's Day and the fathers in my own life, my own birth father, my father-in-law, who both this Father's Day are face-to-face with their father, my husband of almost 33 years, who is an amazing father, and an awesome grandfather. These fathers in my life have really taught me a lot of things. And I do include you in that, Phil. Three things I want to focus on today. And one is to be a man of faith, to be a man that is fearless, and to be a man that lives and models forgiveness. So faith, it's not just a belief, is it? Faith is living, it's active. True faith guides us in our choices. But because we're men of faith, just like David, it doesn't mean our lives are perfect. How could David be called a man after God's heart, even though he committed adultery? And I truly believe it's because in faith, it comes from brokenness. It starts in brokenness, doesn't it? Realizing where we stand before a living God. I am a sinner, saved by grace. And God is teaching me that we have to face things in our life fearlessly. And I've actually been learning that myself even these last couple of weeks. And what a blessing to be at CR the other night and just to hear men and women share their brokenness. But in that brokenness, as we sang this morning, our hope is found there, our faith. And I'm so thankful for these men of faith who have been models for that in my life. Number two, fearlessness. Not being ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But even more than that, Robbie, you alluded to that today. Not being ashamed to let people into our lives. Fearless, because we don't have to fear the judgment of people. We don't have to fear that because God is our judge. God is our healer. And all of these men, my father, my father-in-law, my husband, all of them have faced struggles, conflict, maybe even failures in their lives, and have modeled healing in their lives, living as redeemed people. And then the third, forgiveness. Not only being forgiving to others, but seeking forgiveness for their sin. And so God has just led me to that three-point sermon this morning. Faith, fearlessness, and forgiveness. And I just pray that what we share this morning might reveal to you that that is a message for all of us walking in our faith. In our journeys to the north, which this year have included two marriage weekends, one in Big Trout First Nation and one in Ignace, Ontario, as well as annual visits to Fort Hope, Weagamow, and Curve Lake. God has led us to a lot of fathers. He has led us to fathers of faith who desire to lead their families. He has led us to the fatherless, many who have been raised only by moms, grandmas, fallen fathers, many who are in prison, dealing with depression and chronic illness, struggling with addiction, those who have taken their lives and the impact of that on their children's lives and on the lives of their family. God has led us. We are no better. We are just in different situations. And it's just, as Rob again shared, it's so humbling to even be called into those situations and to walk with them. Our church committed to praying for our team this year with a whole week of a prayer vigil. And it was extremely meaningful to us to be able to walk on soil that our church family prayed for. One of the things we prayed for this year was that people that were stuck in grief, people that were stuck in situations, that God would move their spirits and provide a tenderness in their hearts that would allow them to almost feel like a breaking of chains and a release. We spend a lot of time in prayer ministry. And Terry, if you can just put that picture up, I want to share with you, I want you to meet some people of faith that ministered on our team this year. On the far right is Pastor Jimmy Wabus and his wife Ruth. And on the far left is interim pastor of Weagamow Church, Ivan Wapanisk, and his wife Faye Wapanisk. These were two of our three couples who shared at the marriage retreat. Faye and Ivan have had an opportunity to share their life story on 100 Huntley Street, and you can actually Google their name and hear their story. It's a story of serious abuse, sexual abuse in their lives, and how it has impacted their marriage, and how they have dealt with their feelings in terms of personally, but how it's affected their marriage. And they very openly share their stories. And Pastor Jimmy and Ruth, they share from a place of Pastor Jimmy and Ruth talk about adultery in their marriage and how a child was born out of that affair. And Ruth shares her testimony of forgiveness and healing. So these people of faith shared among their own people. We were background facilitators in those spaces, providing meals. But as we saw God use these people, I was reminded of these three pieces. Number one, these are people of faith that God has led us to and partner with. Number two, fearless in sharing their stories. And number three, modeling forgiveness for each other and sharing. I'm just going to give you two very short stories. The first one was in Big Trout Lake, where Clark and Maddie Ashenhurst hosted us in their home. And one of the evenings of the workshops, Pastor Jimmy and Ruth had just shared. Ruth had just shared her story of how she forgave Jimmy. And then we went out to pray for couples. And the couple that I went to, I'd never met before. And within 10 seconds, the husband was weeping. And they shared, they just bore their story to me about how they have been in and out of their personal relationship and their past of just wrought with abuse and addiction and just weeping absolutely instantaneously and asking for prayer. So it's such a moving experience for me to hear their story and just to carry that burden to the Lord. The second one is a real visual for me. And it was when Jimmy was talking about Ruth's forgiveness in his life. And it was before four couples from Wayagamow. And these couples we've journeyed with on some pretty deep issues through the years, so I know a lot of their situations. But Jimmy was sharing his heart, and he said, you know, as a father, I realized it, what I did to my family. It just impacted my family so deeply. And he said, one night we were sitting around the table having a meal, and he said, I just felt compelled to get down on my knees. And I just said to my boys, I am so sorry of the destruction that I brought to this family. And he just bore his heart and his soul. And it was just such a model of forgiveness. And then we went to prayer, and God led them as a couple to pray for another couple from Wayagamow that has just been through such difficulty. And it was so beautiful to watch God heal one couple and then for them to bring that healing and that comfort to another couple. Isn't that what we're just all called to do? It was a beautiful picture of the church. It was a beautiful picture of men and women of faith. We hear so many stories about all the rotten things that are happening, but I'm here to tell you, God is at work. God is healing families and bringing hope through one another. There's a few of us that want to just share a little piece, just a tiny piece with you today. We've been to 5 communities, so it's pretty hard to do it in a few minutes. So we welcome you to join us next Sunday night for a longer version, I suppose, with perhaps more pictures and more of our team. It's about 30 of us, really. But today, we have people just sharing from their hearts. I've mostly asked men, because it's Father's Day, to share. But I couldn't help but ask Haley, who is a child here. It's like when Robbie shares, you know, when she's now a woman, but we've watched you grow up, Haley, and we know that you have a love of a great father. Mike is an awesome dad to you, and you've shared that, and I know that's special, and it'll be special for Mike today to be able to hear that too. So I've asked Haley to talk about her experiences with Wayagamow, and then Anise and Kevin will share about Curve Lake And then Rod will share about the marriage workshop in Fort Hope. And then we'll be blessed to hear from the Lagerquists, a father-son story. So everyone's just going to be sharing some anecdotal kind of experiences. But we want to tie it in with that scripture. Because if you remember what you read, we've been praying, our church has been praying, for an enlightenment of wisdom and revelation, that people would know him better, that people would know God better. But out of that, we've been praying for three things. Hope, that people would know the hope, that people would know the riches of our inheritance in the faith, and that they would know the power of God. We pray that through this, God would just reveal all of those things for his glory.
Oh, there it is. I love that picture. So, good morning. I had the pleasure of returning to Wiegmau for the third time this year. And so while we were in Wiegmau, we did some home visits where we would just sing and pray in the homes of elders. And on this particular visit, we were at the house of a lady named Phyllis, and Phyllis is the lady sitting in the chair right there. And Ina was there, so Ina's in the purple jacket on the left, and she was translating for us. And I was with my mom and Jen on this particular visit. So it was just so special to get to sing with these ladies, and you just get such a powerful feeling, and it's indescribable, and we were even feeling so avid that we attempted to learn some OG Cree from them too. So if you want to see that video, just come find me, because it's pretty funny. So we sang "Oh How I Love Jesus" in OG Cree, and it was beautiful. So it's amazing to spend time with these lovely ladies. They have so much history. It does come with hurt and heartbreaks, but the smiles they show, it just speaks to how strong these women really are. And I know that every single person on our team saw the joy of the Lord in these women. Ephesians 1:18 says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people." And that's just what God does when he puts our team in Wiegmau. He allows us to have just a glimpse into the lives of these women and to all the people in the community, even if it's just for 1 week, so that we can walk together in Christ in this 1 week. These ladies are strong Christian women, and Phyllis and Ina, they bring the hope of Christ to their communities. They really do. And not only do I believe that God has a calling for each of us and a plan for our team, but I know that he had his hand on every single interaction that happened in that community in that week, and he continues to. And speaking on hope, we have so much hope for these people and so much hope for this ministry. And we know that God is working in these communities and in our church here, and it's just incredible. Thank you.
Yeah, good picture of me. Hi, I'm here to talk about Curve Lake, and even though it was last weekend, it shouldn't be that hard to remember, but, you know, I am getting older, so you never can tell. And that's what my wife did, too. She gave me the crickets. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I would say that, like Jenna explained about a little bit about a grief, and the fact that within Curve Lake, they've lost 4 people since December, and the last one was only a couple weeks just before we were going to come. So we had that, walking into that community with knowing that they were dealing still with a lot of grief and still processing that kind of things that are going on. Now, in a lot of, like Jen had mentioned before, about a lot of northern communities, there's a lot of grief due to suicide. But in Curve Lake, it wasn't suicide. It was just illnesses and things like that that people and of those kind of nature that people were passing away. But still, they have to process that grief. And within a Native community, it is a real process. It's not just something that they do quickly and move on. So I guess it all started last Thursday when Anise and Steve O did a paint night, and I wasn't there. I couldn't come up that on a Thursday because I was trying to help my daughter get ready to move. But it was I heard it was a great night. In fact, actually, I heard the one story where Steve told this young boy, Christian, about the fact that he had to a good artist never always signs his copy. So we came, I guess, on the Friday or the Saturday there to the church, and here he comes with his painting that he had did and said, "Steve, look, I signed it. I'm an artist." And Steve shared that with me, and I thought that was really cute. And I thought, oh, I can't, you know, had to share that with you today. But what I was looking for was the fact that we did the Groups of Hope from this book. It's done by Faith Holowen, who's been here many times. And there's 8 different sessions or stories based on the different parts of the Bible. And they all provide different hopes, I guess you could say the word is the fact, and showing hope. Something like, for example, like the woman in the well. You know all that story from in the Bible about the fact that, you know, that Jesus gave her hope by talking to her, a Samaritan woman. And we all understand how all those things, you know, just didn't happen at that time, but he gave her hope. And so we did the last 4 sessions, and being the group leader and on our team and with the Groups of Hope, I made sure I made everybody get involved. So I delegated. And so, you know, people who may not have been 12-versed, and because of the one part of the Groups of Hope is that you're going to share a story. So you're going to become an actor. And you're going to be able to relay that message as the person that you're going to be. And I'll share this example, and Steve's looking right at me, and he knows I'm going to share him, and because I thought he was so good. Steve Ode took part of this story and was based on in the Bible about when the Israelites are leaving Egypt. Okay, so they're at the river and they see the chariots coming after them. Steve was playing the role of Aaron, and as Aaron telling the story of what it would be like being trapped at the thing. Being trapped at the river. In fact, actually, Steve did it so well, I know he was reading it, but the way he paused, he did something, he paused and you were like, da 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 da, what's going to happen next? And it was like fantastic. And I told him that. I said, like, I was just like moved because even though I know what the story is, it was like you were anticipating because he was really trying hard to be Aaron. So 4 of us did, and even I played the role of Nicodemus on one session. And Anis wrapped up here. He wrapped up on Sunday, and he did a beautiful job of telling the story out of Acts chapter 2, seeing Christ being going up into heaven, and how Peter and John and the rest of the disciples got up and started speaking in tongues and things like that, and being able to. So Anis did a great job trying to be one of the group who were there that day, who saw what was going on and were amazed and wondered by everything. I think, like Jen said about in Ephesians, about the hope and the riches. The hope was the fact that with the Groups of Hope, we gave them stories to which they could find hope within. And we also gave them, I believe, through some of the stuff that we did, that we also gave them to show his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Because of the fact that we not only, we did some, you can tell I did some yard work, But they also did, some of the team did gardening and some home visits as well too. But I think the highlight for us, and I'm pretty sure this is just about everybody, it was the Saturday night jamboree. We had Don and Kathleen Kennedy come, and Mark and Anita and Oliver came, the Lagerquist, and we also had some local talent from Curve Lake, and of course Jen with her harp, and we really poured out and praised God for all the stuff that He was doing in Curve Lake, and we had a wonderful night. Everybody was in. In fact, one of the older ladies, Donna, to Jen said, "Oh, there's tambourines up here." She got up and grabbed the tambourine, and she was just going with the tambourine, and it was beautiful to watch her sing praises to her Father in heaven, even though she is really dealing with a grief of the loss of her husband in January, and still she was there to be able to praise God and be able to show that God still is at work in her life. And I would say that I would close with the fact that not only are we still going to go back to Curve Lake, I love Curve Lake, I'll probably never stop going to Curve Lake, and the fact is that the love is reciprocated back to us as well too, because they keep asking us to come back. In fact, actually, they keep asking us to come to help do kids camp in August. So we'll see how that works as well too. But thank you for your time.
It's been a year since my accident, and throughout my accident, my wife has often reminded me that that near-death experience that you had, God is not ready for you yet. You need to do His bidding. You need to be engaged for His kingdom, because that's why you're still here. Galatians 5:13 reminds us, "You, my brothers and sisters, were set to be free. But do not use that freedom to indulge in the selfish nature. Rather, serve one another in love." Going to Curve Lake was just that opportunity of serving others with that humble love. Steve Ode and I were once coming back from an art supply store, and he had this idea. He said, "How about you do a paint night for the indigenous people, just like we've done it at UBC? So we went back, we prayed over it, and true enough, that fruitioned into our paint sessions at Curve Lake. We had two. They were, as you heard, quite successful, and praise be to the Lord. And people went home with good paintings. But the emphasis was not just on paintings. We had pictures that we picked with scripture verses attached to them, because that was the name of the game. And we had two sessions and had a very successful afternoon and the evening. James 1:27 reminds us that pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God our Father is this: to visit the orphans and the widows in their distress. Besides doing the painting sessions, we also visited. We did some home visits with the indigenous people. Home visits are a two-way street. Sure enough, we went bearing gifts as Christ's ambassadors, showing his love. But then they opened their homes to us. They showed us their love, their hospitality. And it was truly wonderful, an exchange. This is where we shared the inheritances of our past, of our riches, and our glorious past given to us by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One such visit was with a gentleman who is on the slide by the name of Murray Wheatung. He's 95 years old, wonderful, cheerful man. He shared with us stories of his days in World War II. It was such a beautiful time we spent. At the home base, because of my condition, I couldn't do any gardening or any hard work. So I did a lot of the sit-down jobs. I think, it felt like a ton of potatoes that I peeled and turnips and onions that I chopped. Anyway, to get ready for the meals. And also, I made signs. Jennifer asked me to make a sign saying Gospel Jamboree. That was a rather large sign we had to make to display on the road to let the people know that there was going to be the gospel concert on Saturday night. So it took a while. And I had two young girls, one age 8, another one age 11. They were running around. I said, come on over, help me out. So I would outline the letters and they'd fill the letters in, saving some time. Their names, Faith and Hope. Through the time that I was making the sign, I just kept on praying. I said, Lord, we are doing all this work. Just give us at least one person that comes to the concert because of the sign. And, you know, so sure enough, we put the sign together and put it out hanging in the front on the roadside. And then we had the concert. The next day was Sunday. There was church service. There was potluck. I met a gentleman by the name of Neil Curtis. And he said, I'm going to be running for elections for the position of the chief. I said, oh. So I wished him well. Then we parted. Lunch was over. And then the pastor came to me and said, I want to tell you something. I said, oh, what? He said, you know that gentleman, Neil Curtis? I said, yeah. He said, he came just because he saw your sign. I said, prayers answered. I was allotted only 3 to 4 minutes. I hope I haven't exceeded my time. God bless you all.
Good morning. My name is Rod Voss, and I had the privilege of participating in two missions with Heart to Heart this May. The first was with my wife, Alita, at the marriage retreat at Ignace, and the second was at Fort Hope. My desire to better understand the challenges that our First Nations people face and seek an answer for hope was certainly fulfilled. The stories we hear, the stories we hear about the generational dysfunction created by the residential schools, as well as the present day problems associated with the current education system, access to drugs and alcohol, abuse, lack of health care, lack of healthy food are certainly real. The theme of darkness and light was impressed upon me during the whole time. Living in the northern regions, these people face long periods of physical darkness, but I'm referring to the darkness of despair and the absence of hope for both the young and the old. Many turn to drugs, alcohol, even suicide to escape the torment. In Fort Hope, we could see the evidence in the graffiti on the houses, the burned down buildings and vehicles, smashed windshields, the sickness, and the numerous stories of suicide. At our team retreat prior to the mission, we were given a scripture of hope from Isaiah by Liz Beardy, a First Nations, in my estimation, Mother Teresa, who counsels and comforts her people who are suffering. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, her scripture that she gave us was, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." At Ignace, Alita and I were thankful for the opportunity to see the couples who had driven 10 hours on rough northern roads from Waiagamau to attend the retreat, to learn how to be better husbands and wives for one another, which is foundational in the health of these communities. We asked the couple how we could pray for them, and they asked us to pray for their upcoming memorial for their daughter, who took her life when she was 14 in 2012. In Fort Hope, our team stayed at Pastor Jimmy's church, and during the days we were asked to visit several families to pray and worship with them. One family in particular had a 20-year-old son who was hearing voices and having dreams that were dark and threatening. We learned that he had experienced in Thunder Bay the murder of a good friend of his. So three of us equipped ourselves with the armor referred to in Ephesians 6 and visited their home. The son and the father were in the front of their house chopping wood when we arrived, and we were then invited into their home and asked how we could pray for them. The son was very quiet and wouldn't say anything. So we sang a worship song, and then the father led us through the house, and we prayed in each and every room. The son's room was in the unfinished basement where we saw evidence of video games and drug use. As we prayed, I couldn't help it. I felt compelled to drop on my knees on the dirty concrete floor. And all of a sudden, the rain began pouring down so hard that we could hear it in the basement. It felt like the floodgates of heaven were opening up and washing away the sin. After finishing our prayers, we walked back to Pastor Jimmy's church, which is called the Revival House of Prayer. We arrived back just at the tail end of an evening worship service. It was about 9 p.m. when someone noticed a rainbow outside. If you could put that picture of the rainbow. And it was encircling the house of Chief Liz, who lives next door to the church. And she's a Christian and part of Pastor Jimmy's church. God had certainly given us a sign that he was at work in our midst. In the days that followed, we learned from the father and the mother that their son was doing much better. There is a power that is able to bring hope and goodness and light into Fort Hope and the hundreds of others, First Nation communities in our country. And it's a power that we best not underestimate. Pastor Jimmy and his faithful church in Fort Hope have access to it, and so do we. In our team scripture, as we heard earlier, Ephesians, the Father's incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same power as the mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. and he seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realm. The Father's power that raised Christ from the dead is at work in Fort Hope, and we, the church, need to pray for this power to enlighten and empower a new generation of children in these communities. There's all kinds of hope on the horizon that his power can provide: education, health care, proper nutrition, resource and industry, and above all, faith in him who is the source of the power to make it happen. Thank you.
Hello. Okay. So thanks for allowing us to share a bit of our experience. It's a bit different, and I have my son here. I'm going to do this because he's apparently going to be 6'4", and I won't be able to put my arm around him like that. Anyways, so yeah, thanks a lot for this opportunity. Ours is a little bit different. I was part of the heart-to-heart team that went to Fort Hope in the spring of 2017. And out of that, there was an opportunity to go back to Fort Hope last summer. He was asking for some help with the music over the over a family camp that he runs. Now, if you know Fort Hope, being remote as it is, Pastor Jimmy actually runs a camp that's remote from Fort Hope. So you're really in the middle of nowhere there, which is great. So Oliver and I were available to go, and we prayed about it, and after a lot of prayer and consideration, we decided to do it. So leading up to going, Oliver and I chose 30 songs, worship songs, that we do here at UBC, and we started practicing them all because we had to lead, possibly lead music over five sessions or so that was happening at the camp. So it was a lot of fun for both of us. We were both very nervous. Oliver was singing and playing the keyboard. Yeah. And I was singing. It's even funnier, actually. Yeah. Sometimes playing guitar, sometimes playing drums, and sometimes playing keyboard. So as I said, we were really nervous. But we were also really trying to walk by faith and trust God would get us through it. Our experience there was wonderful. And the Christian community at Fort Hope welcomed us as honored guests. Our experience in Fort Hope last summer really can be tied into one of the themes that Pastor Dale spoke on as we walked through Ephesians together. And I'm referring to unity amongst believers. Even though we come from different backgrounds, very different cultures, and sometimes there's a difficult history there, I never felt anything but love and respect from the Christians there. We were able to share in a few really cool experiences with them over those 3 days at the camp, including a communal fish fry that Oliver's going to tell us about.
Yeah, so at the family camp, the people there set out gill net just off a drop off near the beach, and they bring in the fish net the next day with like a whole ton of fish, mostly walleye, and it was really neat. They were showing us how to like properly untangle the fish and by like not cutting the gill net, and to they were filleting the fish, and it was really cool. We got to experience that with them. And so Yeah, they had stations and they cooked the fish and breaded the fish over a nice campfire that they made. And then they prayed over the food and then they had everyone line up. Before we started, Pastor Jimmy, I think it was Pastor Jimmy, I don't know, invited the special guests to be served first, and that included only us and the guest speaker and his wife. And that was really special, and we felt included and welcomed there. And I think they really wanted us to feel included as a group of Christians with them, tied together by the same belief. And really, differences should not have to keep us from joining the same body and one faith. So.
And I just, in light of the whole issue of unity, I just want to read a passage of scripture. It's a really cool passage of scripture where Jesus is praying. And being Father's Day, I thought it was kind of cool too, because we get a chance to listen in to Jesus, our Savior, speaking to his Father, which is really cool. So I'm going to read a bit of this, and it's John chapter 17, beginning in verse 20. It says, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them will be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. So to feel God's love through the Christians of Fort Hope and to exhibit God's love to them is what brings us together into unity. Paul says in Ephesians that Jesus Christ has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. It is only through Jesus that there will be true reconciliation. And I just think it's so great to see those bonds of unity that exist between us, even though we're so far away from each other. And I hope that we can continue to see bonds like that even develop stronger in our church here and beyond. So thanks for listening.
What a blessing to just hear stories. But isn't it beautiful that they're us, that this is our church family. God has made a difference in our lives, and we're sharing it. I just pray that those three things, the hope of Christ, the richness of his inheritance, and the power of God, I hope that that's been clear in everything that's been spoken today. And also men and women, that we can be people of faith, that we're not afraid to let people see what's really happening in our lives, and that we can model forgiveness in those deep times. So let's just close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the hope that we have in you, Lord. You make all the difference in our lives, Lord, in the struggles that we face. Sometimes, Lord, we feel like that we are slaves to the things in our lives, to our struggles, to our weaknesses. But praise God. Hearing those testimonies the other night, Lord, of people who have exposed their sin, Lord, who have said, this is what happened to me, this is the way I've lived, but by your grace, God, and your mercy, they're no longer slaves to that sin, Lord. And I pray for myself as a sinner, Lord, I pray for everyone in here, Lord, as we walk our faith, Lord, that we would be inspired by these indigenous people who are living their faith, Lord, fearlessly sharing the testimony you've given them and modeling forgiveness. God, perfect love casts out fear. And we thank you for that love. Thank you for speaking to us today, God, our glorious Father. Amen.